Attention Ditto Heads. Attention Bo Scouts.
Goes by the pseudonym Bo Snerdly.
It's time for the Soul of Excellence.
He is a radio host at 77 WABC here in New York.
The Rush Hour is on the air.
Rush.
Now here's Bo Snerdly.
Yes, indeed. 800-848-9222 is the number to reach us if you would like to participate on the program this afternoon. And what an afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, it has been. You just heard the mayor, America's mayor, Rudolph Giuliani, speaking about the spectacle that was in the New York court today with Stormy Daniels bearing as much as she could bear. In detail of the alleged liaison she had with Donald Trump. And, you know, let me just be 100% perfect. Let me be perfectly clear. Richard Nixon used to say that. Let me be perfectly clear. If the shoe were on the other foot politically, if this were a Democrat and we were, like, let's say some woman had actually been able to get Bill Clinton in the courtroom, I would have been all over this. This would have been manna from on high. I'd be exploring every salacious detail, and there were salacious details. From the little crack she made about the silk pajamas, all the way to her receiving a spanking. There are details. And yes, I would have been all over the details. Happily so. The thing is, Democrats don't get to courtrooms. Paula Jones, as you may or may not remember, had all kind of allegations about Bill Clinton. And she was called and vilified in the mainstream press. Other women who have a lot more serious allegations than this person, Stormy Daniels, or her minions in the Democrat Party, which include this judge, and include Alvin Bragg, were not present. There were no Republican counterparts to these minions to haul women into courtroom or to give them their day, like Juanita Broderick or the other women, and there were more besides Juanita Broderick, who claimed that Bill Clinton raped them or sexually assaulted them. Of course, the famous line from the Bill Clinton alleged rape that happened was after he had his way, put some ice on it with the bruises. You need to put some ice on that. We did learn about some of the Clinton predilections in the Star Report. And do you remember the reaction, ladies and gentlemen, those of you old enough, to remember the reaction when Kenneth Starr released the report and we learned the details, like Bill Clinton using that poor little intern girl as a human humidor for one of his predilections, what he did with the cigar in that girl. But in a courtroom where allegedly, a New York courtroom, where allegedly we're supposed to believe that there is justice occurring, what we are seeing is a political trial, and today what we saw was the Democrat Party, via their judge, via their persecutor, the New York District Attorney's Office, give Democrats a gift of what they hope, I'm sure, will be a bunch of campaign commercials. That's it. Nothing pertaining to the charges. Let's just dig inside and get every detail that we can out of this woman who slept with other men on media for a living. There was no point to this except to get the salacious details before the public in an election year. And then when Donald Trump's lawyers finally said, you know, this is deserving of a mistrial, the judge, of course, good Democrat judge, oh, no need for a mistrial. You can remedy this on a cross-examination. Oh, really? Everybody knows once that genie's out of the bottle, once this salacious testimony is on the record. There is no amount of cross-examination that is going to remedy what was allowed to happen in that court today. Now, we also remember from those years when sexual peccadilloes were displayed in the Clinton White House what the reaction was. Oh, come on. What happened between him and her is nobody's business. That's for the wife. As long as it didn't stop him from doing the job that he's supposed to be doing for the American people, what do we care? Why are we behaving like we're some sort of Puritan nation? Why in Europe they don't do this? It's just sex. All the lines that they do, all of the things that we were told. Now, none of that is being uttered by the left, multiple pundits. They seem to have mass amnesia for everything that they told us and everything that they said in defense of Bill Clinton back when his sexual peccadilloes became known, and they became known because he was doing them in the White House. In the Oval Office, which back then some of us jokingly referred to as the Oral Office, because of the nature of some of the things that took place. Anyway, your thoughts on the trial are completely welcome. It was a disgrace. It is a disgrace. We are seeing Democrats being Democrats. It's stunning to me that Democrats can do anything in the name of politics. They will exert power. They will usurp power from a judicial system and turn it into a political weapon. I have a story in the many stories I have today of the Small Business Administration and how it's being used, but apparently being used, to target Democrat voters in Michigan. And with your federal tax dollars, this agency is perhaps being used to register voters in a battleground state. They will do anything to win. And yet the poor Republicans can't even figure out how to put together an investigation that makes sense to the American people. Poor Republicans can't. Right now they're talking about they might have to subpoena Merrick Garland. Okay, great. Where's that going to go? It'll go the same place that every other Republican investigation goes. The Benghazi investigations, the Fast and Furious investigations, go back to the Whitewater investigation. Goes to the same investigative black hole, no matter what they uncover. Where's the Hunter Biden stuff these days? Meanwhile, Democrats have this machinery in place that blankets the entire political process with their activism and with their power, including this New York courtroom owned by the Democrat Party. There's a Democrat Party courtroom in New York. That's all it is. And they're putting on an election year show. This is not a trial. This is not about justice. This is an election year show to destroy a political opponent. That is all this is. There are other things in the news. Governor Hochul was out today. She made an appearance at an event for the Milken Institute Global Conference in Los Angeles. Got all these problems going on here. You got the university, Columbia. Columbia University released a statement today. Today is Holocaust Remembrance Day. Columbia University released a statement. They didn't even mention the word Jews in it. They had to go back and do it over after they received criticism on social media. It was just some mamby-pamby statement that was just milquetoast, not even taking into account what Holocaust Remembrance Day was and is all about. But anyway, we have some sound from Governor Hochul. And let's take a listen to what Governor Hochul, she's just extolling this big supercomputer that they're building in New York. There you go. Listen in.
Now what we have is the money to build a phenomenal supercomputer that is going to be accessible to researchers in New York, college students, will attract more federal grants. And this is how we lay down the mark. No state has done this. And in fact, I talked to a lot of other people, said, I wish my governor had thought of that first. Said, no, this is New York. We like to be first.
New York.
With all due respect to people from other states. It's sort of our attitude. You know, we will be the best.
We're
we
building
will be
a
first,
computer.
And I want others to follow.
A big one.
Because right now we have, you know, young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word computer is. They don't know. They don't know these things. And I want the world open up to all of them, because when you have their diverse voices innovating solutions through technology, then you're really addressing society's broader challenges.
We have young black kids, them blackens. We got them young blackies up in the Bronx. And these young blackies don't even know the word computer. They so dumb. They're so illiterate. They're so stupid. They so black. They don't even know the word computer. We have young black kids up in the Bronx. Now, the young black kids in Queens, some of them might know computer. The young black kids in Brooklyn, and there's many of them there, maybe too many. But the young black kids in Brooklyn, some of them, now, they walk around with these computers in their pockets, these phones, which are computers, more powerful than the computers that sent men to the moon, in their pockets. But these young black kids in Brooklyn, some of them might know it. Are there any black kids in Staten Island? I don't know. But if there are some black kids in Staten Island, maybe they know the word computer. Let's see, did I cover the rest? I got the Manhattan. Yeah, we might have one or two of them black kids out there in Manhattan, except for Harlem, that might know the word computer. But them young black kids in the Bronx, you see, them little ignorants don't even know the word computer. And we're doing something great. We're going to build a supercomputer. And then we're going to teach them young black kids up in the Bronx how to say the word computer. Three syllables. First, we have to teach him about syllables because they, you know. Thank you, Governor Hochul.
Young black kids
that.
Growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word computer is.
Oh, she said she misspoke. I misspoke. When I said them young dark, I mean them young, blacks, kids up there don't know the word. I misspoke. Your governor, that's the woman that wants to take away your gas stoves because you people are too stupid to know that having a glass stove means you're killing off the world. This is the woman who can't get a handle on keeping criminals in jail because it would hurt the feelings of the progressives who let them loose on the streets of New York to terrorize everybody. But no. Young black kids up in the Bronx, they don't even know what the word computer is. There's other news too, and we'll get to it. Boy Scouts have finally changed their name. Did you hear that? It's no longer the Boy Scouts. 114 years they were not the Boy Scouts. Then they tried to get off with scouting. Well, they've officially changed their name. It's a more inclusive name now. It's called Scouting America. And it sounds almost like they're going to be the lookout We're scouting America. For what? But hey, it's more inclusive. So don't complain. We got to take a break, ladies and gentlemen, so that them black kids can learn some words up in the Bronx. We'll start slow. Maybe we'll teach them first how to say good morning, good afternoon. We'll teach the small words. See, spot, run. See, spot, have fun. And then we'll get to the words. Them big words like computer. 1977, the Eagles go to number one on the U.S. singles charts with this one. Their first, it is actually their fourth. That's a big word. I wonder if them black kids in the Bronx know the word fourth. If it was their fourth number one hit. It also was a big hit over in the U.K. They won the 1977 Grammy Award for Record of the Year with this one. Hotel, California. Thank goodness it wasn't in the Bronx. 800-848-9222. Bo Snerdly here with you on WADC. My head grew heavy and my sight grew dim. I had to stop for the night. There she stood in the doorway. I heard the mission bell. I was thinking to myself, this could be heaven and this could be hell. Then she lit up a candle and she showed.
James Golden, known popularly as Bo Snerdly.
This is the Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Rush
on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
James Golden, known popularly as Bo Snerdly.
This is the Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Rush.
The year was 1966. The Mamas and the Papas. Start a 3-week run in the number one position across America with this one, Monday, Monday. Funny thing, most of the group hated the song except for John Phillips, who wrote it. They ended up winning a Grammy for it anyway. On WABC Talk Radio 77, Marjorie Taylor Greene has been meeting with Speaker Johnson. Of course, you know that she has said this is the week that she's going to try her best to take him down. She's going to bring the vote. So far, I think she's got support from two other congressmen, or maybe just one, on this idea of having a vote to get rid of Speaker Johnson. Hakeem Jeffries the other day was on PBS, and he was telling the host there, you know, we Democrats run the House of Representatives because the Republicans only have a one vote margin. They're so fractured. So we're the ones that are getting things done. Hotel Fort Apache. That should be the new song. Instead of the Eagle. I just got that from the brilliant Miss Churchill. In honor of Governor Hochul, we should just book Fort Apache, the Bronx. We should just do a song, Hotel Fort Apache. Anyway, Marjorie Taylor Greene met with the speaker. Somebody apparently leaked it, and she's not happy about that. But the speaker did come out and say, look, I'm not negotiating with her. But they were due for another meeting today. Now, I haven't had a chance to catch up. I kept looking to see whether there was anything that came out of the meeting today. But Marjorie Taylor Greene actually was questioned by congressional reporters as to what was discussed with Speaker Johnson yesterday. And let's listen in and hear what she said. This is what Marjorie Taylor Greene told reporters. Go ahead.
I wasn't going to talk about the things that I had Speaker Johnson about, but since they actually got leaked, and I'm wondering, I don't know if it came out of his office or not. Yeah, I think I can talk about them. Very reasonable requests, especially given that we have a Republican majority. And the American people gave us a Republican majority because they're fed up with the Democrat policies. Asking for the Hastert rule is the right thing to do for my conference. The majority of majority should support the bills that are voted for on the floor. Also, demanding no more money for Ukraine. That is the right thing to do, and it also obeys the majority of the majority. Also asking for no more special counsels. Look, you guys, we saw Robert Mueller and the Russia collusion witch hunt. These are political. We're watching what Jack Smith has done. The FBI tampered with evidence and made this look completely fake with the documents. And now Jack Smith has lied in court. This is political, and the Department of Justice should never serve as the campaign arm of Joe Biden's administration and his campaign. This is wrong. President Trump is our presidential candidate. He is being abused, and the American people are fed up with it. It is absolutely the right thing to do to end the special counsel. These requests are not complicated, and also demanding that we have a 1% cut in our budget is the right thing to do for the American people who are over $34 trillion in debt. These are not unreasonable requests. These are the right things to do. These are the right things to do for our conference. And our Republican speaker who ran through the Democrat agenda should be able to get it done since we're a Republican-controlled conference.
So this isn't
a Republican speaker who ran for the Democrat agenda. Interesting. Look, they say what you want to about Marjorie Taylor Greene, and I say a bit. You know, sometimes I get frustrated with her. And there are other times where I just love her to death because of what she says. Today's one of those days, if I'm putting it on the scale, is a day that I love her to death for what she's just said. What she's saying is absolutely correct. Here's the problem, though. The real problem is, Marjorie, the problem that you have is not so much with the speaker. The problem that you have are with your fellow moderate Republicans. And until you... I mean, she noted, I heard her say, my conference. It's not your conference. It's their conference. Because these moderates in this party are the ones that decide how things are going to play out. If we could do what the Democrats do, which is to go line, have a party line vote on the big issues, and nobody dares to defect, everything that you're saying makes total sense. 100%. That Republican Party does not exist. And so you have to deal with the political realities as they are. Now, does that mean that I don't think there could be some leverage put on the Republicans? Yeah, but the Republicans are going to crack. That's just the way it is. Anyway, I want to take some calls when we get back. We're going to take a quick break shortly. Not just to relax. We got a minute. We'll take a break shortly. I do want to get to traffic on time today and all that so we can have some time to get your phone calls in here because people do want to speak out about this dismal excuse for a trial that's taking place in New York City. This should just be some X-rated Democrat Party show. That's all this is. It's judicial pornography, and they just brought in a porn star to round it out. And immigration cases in the news. You may not hear too much about this case because of all of the other things going on, but I wanted to make you aware of it. And this is not a good immigration case. I'm just telling you that right now. A 20-year-old illegal immigrant was arrested after he allegedly captured, he kidnapped an 11-year-old girl off the street in front of her Florida home and raped her last week. It happened in Palm Beach County. Marvin Dionel Perez Lopez forced the girl into his white van, raped her. The child's mother, according to police searching for her daughter, saw the van not too far away from where she and Lopez live. The mother actually caught a glimpse of her daughter and Lopez in the van and began banging on the door, shouting at Lopez to free her daughter. He then fled from the van. The victim's mother went by this guy's apartment, where his brother also lived. His brother got him to come home. The mother confronted him. He started begging for forgiveness. The girl's mother called 911. He tried to flee, but was apprehended by police. He's from Guatemala. Left there sometime in January, crossed Joe Biden's open borders, and today an 11-year-old girl is now dealing with the trauma of having been raped by yet another person that should not have been in this country. Democrat Party, Joe Biden, this is on their hands. Time to check in with traffic and Kim Komando. Telephone calls coming up to 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. All right, Carlos, what's up? Who's this? Who is this, Carlos?
This is Grateful Dead, and their drummer, Bill, I don't know if I'm going to say that right, Grootchman,
mangle his name,
was born today.
Yep.
Did I say it right?
Yeah, you said it. It was almost. Good enough. We're going to check in with traffic. Check in with Kim Komando. Coming back, more of your calls. Well, we're going to start on your calls. So whatever you do, keep it right here. Bo Snerley, James Golden with you on WABC.
Hang it up and see what tomorrow brings.
Rush. This is the Rush Hour with Bo Snerley.
Bo Snerley.
On 77 WABC. It's the Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Goes by the pseudonym Bo Snerdly.
Rush.
Now here's Bo Snerdly.
Happy birthday. Happy
Bob Singer.
Birthday, baby. Oh,
John Mastrangelo of The Crest. Birthday today, heavenly. This one went to number two in Billboard's Hot 100. Boy, the doo-wop days, something else. On WABC Talk Radio 77, promised we would get to the phones. We have people waiting that want to weigh in on any number of things. So let us start with Bob in Bloomfield. Welcome, Bob. How are you? What's on your mind this afternoon?
I love your show as usual. This thing is about... The Trump thing is about humiliating. It's not only about breaking him and going broke and tagging him with a felony. It's about publicly humiliating him, you know? So that's the way I look at it.
I think you have this right. And this judge, this idea that this judge would agree to let this woman come on. The Trump's defense already said, look, this is going to be not salacious. This isn't. Oh, no. She has to testify. Then after she does exactly what everyone expected her to do, to go into as much detail as possible, designed to humiliate Trump, then he says, oh, well, you know, this can all be fixed. Yeah, at one point he chided the prosecution for getting a little too much into the details. Everybody knew that was going to happen. He knew that he had to know that was, how does he not know? Maybe, I don't know how, maybe there was a way he didn't know that any casual observer could say, you know what, she's gonna go into as much detail as possible. Maybe this judge is the only one that figured, oh, no, this is just going to be just milquetoast testimony. So after it's all over, every salacious detail that they can get on the record is out there. Then he says, oh, well, you know, you can remedy this with cross-examination. No, you cannot. They got exactly what they were looking for, and you're right. Part of it is to publicly humiliate Donald Trump. Judith in Brooklyn, New York, you're up next. How are you, Judith?
Hi, James. I'm pretty good. I'm hanging in there. How are you, James? Good?
I'm hanging in there, too, yeah.
You're great. Okay, thank you. You know something? Why should I believe Stormy Daniels, a woman, okay, granted a pornographic whatever, but no one believed another woman, Tara Reid, when she accused Joe Biden of sexual assault. That is far worse, okay? So why should I believe Stormy Daniels? I mean, no one believed Tara Reid, so, you know, both are women, and why? Why would I believe one woman over the other?
You were supposed to believe the woman that came out after all those years of silence and said that Kavanaugh had done horrible things at a party when they were, what, 16, 17 years old, and she keeps it all hidden, but yet they drag her out. The same reason we were all supposed to believe Anita Hill when she came out and said that Justice Thomas put a pubic hair on a Coke can, as ridiculous as that still sounds. But they all just, the Democrat, oh, Justice Thomas, did you hear that? And then this woman followed him around from job to job. Anita, and they still treat her like she is a paragon of virtue and truth. No matter how absurd the story was, no matter how absurd the facts are. The same reason that we're not supposed to believe the others. We're not supposed to believe women that say Bill Clinton raped them, even though more than one woman came forward with that allegation. We weren't supposed to believe Paula Jones. In fact, James Carville was out saying, this is what happens when you anybody can wave a $100 bill around a trailer park. When it's a woman that represents a Democratic Party interest, they are supposed to be believed. Poor Tara Reid doesn't represent a Democrat Party interest. And where are all the feminist groups? Where are all the Me Too gals? They're always quiet when it comes to Democrat women that say they're big Democrat, except for Harvey old Weinstein. They hauled his butt out of Bellevue today and took him back to Rikers. But, you know, for most of the time, when it's politics and when it's a Democrat Party head honcho or wannabe head honcho, the women are dispensable. They can be dispensed with. Never mind their stories. It is hypocritical. It is so hypocritical. But I mean, hypocrisy. Okay. It's Democrat policy. Thank you for the call, Judith. Always a pleasure to hear from you. Barbara in Long Island, how are you? You're on with Bo Snerdy, James Golden. How you doing, Barbara?
Hi. I'd like to refute your, I believe that Marjorie Taylor Greene is right about Mike Johnson. I believe that in the, what was it, the FISA bill, first of all, he broke the tie on the floor. He could have very easily not spied on Americans. He chose to do that. And second of all, the bill about, didn't come out of committee. What was it? Oh, on Ukraine. The bill, the Republicans refused to let the bill come out of committee, and he sided with the Democrats to get the bill out of committee just to vote on it.
Mm-hmm. You're right. So I didn't say that he didn't.
I'm sorry.
And so what exactly are you refuting that I said?
Well, that he can't do anything. He's, you know, with a one-person majority. Or single-handedly he did
Let me be really clear about what I'm saying. I'm give you a chance to respond. Look, I am disappointed with Mike Johnson. Please don't think otherwise. I'm disappointed. But I look at the math, and I keep going back to this. What is the math? The math is, and I keep saying this, the problem isn't Johnson. He's a symptom of the problem. The problem is that we have only 43, 44, maybe close to 50 true conservatives in the House of Representatives. And you can find most of them in the Freedom Caucus. You have moderates, especially like some of these guys in New York, who can't wait to vote with Democrats. And so when they whip these votes, they see that whatever the conservatives wants is going to fail. And conservatives and the Republican Party in general, not the conservatives, but these moderates are fearful. They are timid. We have leverage. What is the leverage? The leverage is we could shut this whole thing down because Republicans hold a majority. And if they wanted to, they could say, we have the purse strings. We are the holder of the purse strings. That is a constitutionally mandated role that we are playing as the majority party in the House. But that would require Republicans to vote lockstep. We can't afford but one defection. And what I'm saying, Barbara, the only thing that I'm really trying to stress is that there are so many moderates and rhinos in the House that they hold the balance of power. And that is why we have this outrageous spending bill that granted $60 billion to Ukraine when we won't even spend a fraction of that to secure our own borders. Everything that Marjorie Taylor Greene said today is factually right. But if you get rid of Johnson at this stage in an election year and replace him with someone else, never mind the circus that that's going to entail, you're going to come back to the same problem because we don't have the numbers and Republicans don't have the guts to actually use the power that they do have, which is the power of the purse. Now, I will gladly give you the last word, Barbara, because I love everything that you're saying.
Right. And I agree 100% with what you say, except I believe Marjorie Taylor Greene should do it. She has the guts. Let her do it. Let everybody go on the record for what they're going to vote for. Let the people see. This way, maybe, come November, they won't vote for these people. Let's try and get more MAGA people in. All these people, they talk, and then they don't vote for it. And I'm sorry, Mike Johnson is definitely one of them. He doesn't have power, but he had power those two times. He didn't use it. So when he comes out and says, oh, you know, I can't do anything. I don't have a majority. He had the majority. He had the power in his own hands, and he refused to use it. So these are weak people. And at this point, the Democrats are already in charge. So if we lose Mike Johnson, I don't care. They're already in charge. It's no loss. It's just a matter of having the guts to do what's right. And what's right is to get rid of him.
Okay. Barbara, I hear you loud and clear. Let me just add one more thing. There's something else that's missing in this component. The reason that we can't get a straight line vote anymore is because of weakness. In the old days, if you dared vote against your speaker and your party whip and your majority leader, that would pretty much be the end of your career. Right now, all these moderates can vote against what supposedly the conservatives want with no consequence whatsoever because nobody is enforcing any discipline on the Republican conference. And that's a huge component of this. What consequences is there for going rogue? None. Republican Party is just dysfunctional as they can be. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, by the way, said the same thing that you said. She said, I know it's going to fail, but this is an opportunity to put them on record. That's what she said this afternoon as well, Barbara. So that buttresses your point. Thank you so much. Going to take one more right here. Maria in Queens. You're on WABC, Bo Snerdley's Rush Hour. How are you, Maria? Maria is distracted. Let's do this. Don't hang up on her. See if she's there, because I want to talk to her if she's there. But let's see. Let's check in with Lou Dobbs right now. And when we get back, we'll have time for some more telephone calls here. Bo Snerdley's Rush Hour. Ah, yes. Heavenly birthday today, Jimmy Ruffin. This, of course, his biggest hit, What Becomes of the Brokenhearted. He was the elder brother, as many of you know, of the Temptations, lead singer for many years, David Ruffin. Jimmy passed away in 2014, 78 years old. As I walk this land of broken dreams, I have visions of many things, but happiness is just an illusion filled with sadness and confusion. What becomes of the broken hearted?
Rush.
This is The Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Bo Snerdly.
On 77 WABC.
James Golden, known popularly as Bo Snerdly.
This is The Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Rush. Rush.
Rush. 1946, Thelma Houston is born. This was such a huge hit for her. Won the Grammy, 1977 Best Female R&B Vocal Performance. I used to hang out with Thelma and her husband Dickie, and they had at the time he was 5 years old. Their son, this kid could knock out a drum beat like nobody's business. Anyway, Thelma Houston here on WABC. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, time.
James Golden, aka Bo Snerdly, presents Rapid Phones.
Trisha in
Young
Trouble,
black
Connecticut.
Kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word computer is. They don't know. They don't know these things.
Trisha, you're up next. What's on your mind?
Governor Huckster has revealed herself as the racist she is, as well as being a stupid woman. I think your colleague Curtis refers to her as Governor Huckster, doesn't he?
Curtis has a way with words.
Yes, he does.
Well, she has certainly, we must say, in all fairness, says that she misspoke. But what came out of her mouth, just like at the Stormy Daniels thing, once the genie's out of the bottle, you can't put it back in. Let's check in with Jacqueline in Brooklyn. Hi, Jacqueline. How are you doing?
Hi, James. Very well, and I hope you are as well.
I am.
Also, with regard to Kathy Hochul. Yes, she now said she misspoke because she realized that her comments after she made them were very racist. And I want to know where all of your African-American listeners and callers are. I hear them calling, but I don't hear them calling regarding her racist remarks. And I want to know if they're going to vote for her for a second term.
Young black kids
Great
growing
question.
Up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word a computer is. They don't.
Maria in Queens, you're on WABC. James Golden, Bo Snerdly with you on Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour. How are you, Maria?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. What's on your mind this afternoon?
Well, I'm very disturbed about what I heard about that 11-year-old girl. Where was that? I mean, when
that was in Palm Beach County,
right,
Florida.
I know.
Last week.
Right. I know that. I know you said that, but where was it? How did you find out about it? Was it on the news?
Oh, darling, I'll have to go back and get the source. I scour so many news sources, you have no idea. It is not being widely reported, and that's why when I saw this story, I said, I have got to put this in my stack today, because it is not in any, and I did not see it in a mainstream source. I'll let you know. I'll go back and dig this out again. Thank you for the call. Pamela, you're up next. Hello, Pamela. You're on WABC.
Another victim of illegals, a poor girl being raped. Congress can sleep easy tonight because America does not care about women or children unless they accuse Trump of something.
Boom. You have made a great point. That story, and I'll have to take this back, I consider them mainstream. The only place that had this story was the Daily Mail UK, a Brit publication. You have to go to the Brit publication very often to find out what's happening in America. Yes, the Daily Mail has the story. Newly arrived illegal immigrant kidnaps 11-year-old girl and rapes her in his white van as her mother screams for help outside. That story in the Daily Mail UK. John in Connecticut, you are up next.
Hey, Bo, thanks for taking the call. I'm a contractor. I sign agreements with my clients every day. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you, but you got to go quick. We're almost ready to leave.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Now, unless I don't know what a DNA is, isn't that a contract? An NDA?
Do not disclose. Yeah, the NDA. And absolutely, Trump should be able to, she took the money, either get his money back or have some civil action against her. And by the way, she owes him lawyer's fees, too. We got to go. May God bless and protect each and every single one of you, your family, your loved ones. Love and gratitude for your being here with me and allowing me to be with you, my friends. God willing, we are back tomorrow for the Wednesday edition of Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour. Until then, I bid you adieu. Bye.
Young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word a computer is. They don't know. They don't know these things.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.